Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 106, but let's read God's unchanging word before we go to the Holy Scripture. In fact, let's read it together. Say it out loud with me. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. Amen. His word will stand forever. Turn to Psalm 106. We'll read that in just a moment. The title of this sermon is How Quickly We Forget. Now, I understand that in this audience, including your pastor, that we are all, or most all of us here anyway, there might be a few exceptions, are approaching that season of life where it's just a little bit easier to forget and a little bit harder to remember things. You know, all of us have those moments, those little slips of memory. There was a seminar on aging, and the speaker was entertaining the audience. And he said, you know, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife. And the audience all kind of gasp, and they look, oh my goodness, how would he get up and say that? They're in shock. Finally, the speaker added, and that woman was my mother. And everybody kind of laughed, and thought, that's pretty good. Well, there was a retired fellow that had attended that seminar, and he had begun to have just a little bit of trouble with his memory. But he liked that joke real well. He decided that when he had friends over to his house for a dinner party, he'd try that joke out on them. Sure enough, after dinner, everybody's standing around, and he said, I have an announcement to make. Everybody kind of got everybody's attention. And he said, some of the greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife. Well, he hadn't told his wife about this joke ahead of time. And she was just in shock, and her face turned red. She can't imagine what he's about to say. And then he just stood there, and there was a stunned silence in the room because he couldn't remember the next half of the joke. And he just stood there, and about 20 seconds go by of silence as he's trying to remember the joke, and finally, frustrated, he says, and I can't remember who she was. Well, later on that evening, after all the guests had gone home, he finally remembered what he was supposed to say. And he went to his wife and he said, this was supposed to be a joke, and what I was going to say, it was with my mother. But it was too late. He still slept on the couch that night. It didn't make any difference. Three ladies were discussing the problems and the issues of getting older. And one of the ladies said, you know, sometimes I catch myself with a jar of mayonnaise in my hand standing in front of the refrigerator. And I can't remember if I'm supposed to put it up or if I'm supposed to make a sandwich. And the second lady said, oh, I sometimes have that problem too. Sometimes I find myself on the landing of the stairs and I can't remember if I'm supposed to be going up or coming down. And the third lady spoke up and she said, well, ladies, I tell you what, I don't have that problem at all. Knock on wood, and she wrapped her knuckles on some wood. Then she paused, she said, did y'all hear that? Somebody must be at the door. Psalm 106, look at this scripture with me. Psalm 106, verse 7. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works, did not wait for his counsel. Verse 21, they forgot God their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. In verse 43, many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel. They rebelled in their counsel. Can you imagine rebelling in their counsel? It says, and were brought low for their iniquity. God blesses and blesses, and yet they were still rebelling against him. In Psalm 106 that we've just read, in these verses, the writer is looking back at the history of Israel. And he's remembering and recapping the many, many times that the children of God forgot God's mighty works. They forgot his miracles. They forgot his hand had been with them. They forgot of all his love he had shown to them. They forgot all the divine help that God had provided for them over and over again. We're reminded of this in Deuteronomy 6 and 12. The scripture says, "Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." In this verse, Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he's telling them that there is a danger if they have a memory loss when it comes to what God has done for them. There is danger in forgetting God. God's people were stranded on the edge of the promised land. They were ready to go into a land that had great cities that they didn't build. They were ready to go into a place where homes were full of things in which they had contributed nothing. They were ready to receive all the blessings of vast orchards full of grapes and fruit trees and growth of all these wonderful things. Everything was going to be given to them. They hadn't planted nothing themselves. God was going to bless them with all those things. When you think about it, as good as the prospect of all this prosperity was, there was a danger lurking under the blessing that God was giving them. See, Moses knew that in good times, it's easy to forget God. These folks that he was addressing, they were in danger of forgetting that it was God who had given them this land flowing with milk and honey. They were in danger of forgetting that it was God that had gone before them in every battle, given them victory. In fact, they were in danger of forgetting that it was only through God's gracious choice of them as His chosen people that they were enjoying the blessings of the new home that God was going to give them. Moses knew. He knew that when we forget God, that we become unthankful. When we forget God, we're likely to become more proud in our own self-sufficient manner and thinking of our own abilities. We become in mind and in heart in a way that's very offensive to the giver of every good and perfect gift. So the story of the Israelites, as we look back and made a summary of it this morning, that story really is a lot like our own story in many ways, isn't it? I hope some of you are nodding with me. We've had those moments. God blesses us. He pours out and He answers prayer. He meets needs. And then without even realizing it, we slip away and we begin to forget of all the things He's done. Oh, we don't forget Him totally, but just until we get into the next mess. And then we call for His help again. We cry and we pray, and He intervenes again on our behalf, and we thank Him. You would think that we would see the light, that we'd make a change in our life, that we'd give God the rightful place in our lives always, not just when there's a crisis. But so often folks don't. They just repeat the same pattern over and over. It's like keeping God in a basement like He's a janitor. We're going to call on Him when we've got another mess. We need Him to come and help us clean up. That's a sad way for a Christian to be living. This is not only true for us individually in our walk of faith, in our walk as a Christian. It's not only true for us as individuals, but don't you see the very same thing happening in this nation today, in the nation that we're in? God blessed this country. God blessed the USA beyond measure. And He gave wisdom and insight as leaders completed the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He gave this nation, this new nation, in those early years, He gave us men of faith in positions of leadership, men who knew that God was their source, men that publicly acknowledged God as the source of the Constitution and government and order that was the foundation of this very nation, men that weren't ashamed to publicly acknowledge God and give thanks to Him. But it seems today that we've forgotten that everything that was great and wonderful about this great country, we've forgotten that all those things were based on a foundation of faith and belief and reliance in our Almighty Heavenly Father. We've forgotten that. Yes, we've forgotten it in this nation. The various scriptures that we read in Psalm 106 describes really this disease of quickly forgetting. The scripture we read said, "They did not remember Your mercies. They soon forgot His works. They forgot God, their Savior. Many times he delivered them and they rebelled. Is that happening in our nation today? Do you sense that? Do you see that? All the great blessings of God, and yet there's as if most of America is shaking their fist in the face of God, leaving him completely out of the affairs of our individual lives and in this nation. So it kind of brings us to this question. Why is it that folks so easily forget God? Why is it that we so quickly turn from God when things are going great? What causes that? I think there's many different issues that contribute to it, but I'm going to address three real important ones today that I hope will help all of us. And the first one is this. It's busyness. Number one, busyness. Busyness is when we don't take time to be alone with God. When we don't take time to read His study, His Word, and let it speak to our hearts. When we don't take time individually to get on our knees and pray and seek God with all of our heart. A great example, by the way, of the busyness that I'm talking about is showcased in Luke's Gospel in the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. You know the story well. Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and they came to a village. And there was a woman there named Martha. Martha opened her home up to them. Well, the Bible goes on in this story. Martha had a sister. Her name was Mary. And the story tells us that Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to every word He said. But Martha, her sister, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made for the meal. And finally, she came to Jesus. Can you imagine this? She came to Jesus and she said, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get up and help me." Can you imagine going to Jesus and telling Him to tell your sister to get up? Jesus answered back. Listen to His answer. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Ooh, wow, I wonder how Martha felt when she heard that. If we're honest this morning, most of the time, we resemble Martha more than we do Mary. We're rushing around. We're doing what must be done. We're doing what needs to be done. And while we're doing all the stuff we think that's so important, we're missing the glimpses and the whispers and the presence of Jesus all around us. And as difficult as it is, and as contrary to our culture as it is, we must intentionally make an effort to slow down and model the example of Mary. Because Jesus Himself said these words, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it's not going to be taken away from her." We must be intentional about making time to be alone with Jesus. We must be intentional about taking time to rest in Him. Let the phone ring. Let the social media go for a while. It can wait. Nothing is as important. The text message will be there later on. Get alone with the Lord. Spend time with Him. The things that are eternal matter. Jesus is eternal. That other stuff doesn't mean a thing. I left the picture of Steve Warren on my desk. It's the picture that was printed on his funeral card that Sheila and the family had made up. I look at that picture every day in my office. I'm reminded of a godly man that I loved and respected that's not with us. And I look at his picture, and it's a reminder to remember that what is eternal is what matters. All the stuff that we spend our energy and time and mind on is nothing compared to those things which are eternal. Oh, God, help us. Let us make the effort to sit more at the feet of Jesus and enjoy Him rather than running around like Martha did because she's fussing over the dishes or whatever it is she's fussing over. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near." So we get so hung up, busyness, doing stuff, that the eternal things that we know really matter just get pushed aside. Oh God, help us. Help us to draw close to you every single day. Help us to nurture the relationships that will matter, relationships with friends and family. Help us to remember to embrace the precious moments that we have with loved ones. Help us to take the ordinary drumbeat of life and pause and look at those events as special and wonderful when we're around those that love us and we love them. Help us to have that heart and insight to remember what really matters, what is essential, the things that can't be seen, that can't be touched, the things that are invisible, the things that you can only see with your heart and with the Holy Spirit in us, directing us and helping us. Oh, if we forget over time, this is true of all of us, if we forget what really is important over time, we look back and we see that we really knew what mattered. We really knew what mattered was a life of faith. What really mattered was nurturing those relationships and protecting those relationships with friends and family. We really knew those things really mattered, but we look and we see we were just too busy to forget the God who had done great, great things for us. Oh God, help us. The second thing, as we look at these three things, the second thing is compartmentalization. Now that's seven syllables, and I have a hard time even saying a word with four syllables, so I struggle to get that one out, compartmentalization. Some of you heard me say that, and you're already kind of shutting down and thinking, I think I'll nap through this one because I have no idea what he's going to tell us. Compartmentalization. Stay with me. Please stay with me this morning. What many Christians are doing is living a compartmentalized spiritual life. What does that mean exactly? That means that so many Christians have this special little compartment of spirituality. And in this little compartment, they keep it separate from everything else in their life. And that little compartment only gets open rarely. Oh, when it comes Sunday morning, they'll open that compartment of spirituality, and they'll sing the hymns, and they'll praise God, and they'll listen to a sermon, and they'll pray, and they'll listen some more, and they'll pray some more, and then they'll go home. When they go home, they shut that little compartment of spirituality up. They leave their safe Christian compartment closed, and they go back to living their life however they lived, in the ordinary humdrum of things without letting Jesus be a part of it. They think it's okay to leave God out of their daily living. Oh, they don't say it out loud. I mean, they still believe in God, but they just leave God out of daily living. They may even allow sin to show up in their lives. But, hey, Sunday comes around, profess I'm a Christian, go to church, and open that compartment up again, and there I am. They make sure, folks that are living their lives this way, they make sure to occasionally visit that Christian compartment from time to time. They may think that, you know, a scripture a day will keep the devil away or something like that, so they go with that way of life. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way, folks. We can't just put it over here in this little compartment and live our life separate from it. Christianity can never be compartmentalized. If you compartmentalize your faith, you risk being guilty of sin on Judgment Day. Because God surely is going to judge every part of your life, including the Christian part that you kept separate from everything else. He's going to judge us on our entire lives. Isn't he what the Word of God tells us? The Christian faith is not just a compartment in a house to hide things away where the world never even realizes that you're a believer. No, the Christian life, the Christian faith is the foundation of which our house should be built, so to speak. It's the foundation for which our daily living and our entire life is based upon. Every compartment of our life must sit on that faith, on that gospel message that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. But so many folks keep God in a Sunday morning slot in their lives. Other than a short devotional time and on Sunday mornings, they have very little thought of God in their daily living. It's a sad thing. Each day, so many folks just are what I call autopilot. You know, they're going through life. They're not being evil or anything, but they're just relying on their own abilities and their own knowledge and their own understanding, making their own decisions, and God has no part in it. When we do that, when we live our lives like that, we forget the mercies, we forget the goodness of God. We forget His past help, we forget His care for us, we forget all those things. The subject is about why we forget so easily. This is partly why. Compartmentalization, keeping it separate from our lives. Oh God, help us not to do that. Help us to remember His faithfulness. Help us to stop walking each day relying on ourselves, but walk every day saying, God, I can't make it without You today. I must feel Your presence in my life. I'm trusting in You. Every step, every encounter, God, be with me. And when we do that, He'll be there to influence our hearts and our minds and guide us and direct us in all that we do. The third thing that causes this sense of forgetfulness is selfishness. Psalm 106 verse 14 declares, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. The will of man and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh for personal gain, for personal comfort and for personal attention, can lead to a lack of governing our minds or guarding our hearts by the principles of Scripture. If we're living in this my will or living in this just whatever I want. Jesus, in what theologians call the Great Denunciation, in Matthew chapter 23, He rips into the religious leaders of that day. He rips into them pretty toughly. People that were selfish, these religious leaders were in that group, they were selfish. They were ripping people off and who they had been given spiritual charge of. And right in the middle of this intense argument against their hypocrisy and against their selfishness, right in the middle of these comments, Jesus had this to say. Look at with me on this next PowerPoint. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, take a minute and just think about the truth of that scripture in that very first sentence particularly. The greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest people in my life, as I look back in my life, the greatest people are the ones that I truly value and honor and respect. They're the folks that have reached out to me, that took time to let me know that I mattered, even if it meant them being inconvenienced. They took time to help me, to encourage me, to pray for me, to counsel with me, to be there for me at a time of need. We all have people like that in our lives. As we look back, I pray that you do. I look back, I can remember my Sunday school teacher, my Royal Ranger leader, Reverend Wayne Word. I grew up in that church as a young boy growing up, and he was my Royal Ranger leader and a friend and taught my class. He was a great guy. In fact, he was later the Ranger leader for our whole district. As a little boy, I loved going to Royal Rangers. Royal Rangers were like Boy Scouts, and they had missionettes for the girls. I loved it. We went on Wednesday nights. We had a little project we were doing. It was making a crystal radio. There's no electricity or batteries or anything. We had all these parts, little crystal radio, and we thought, I'm just so excited we're going to start making this project. But just as we started, violence took over in my home. My dad had come home very drunk and had beat my mother, and it was just terrible. We left, and we were gone back at my grandparents' home in Oklahoma for a few weeks, and then we finally came back home. And of course, I realized that all the guys would have finished their crystal radios, and I hadn't got to be there to learn how to do it. We showed up on a Wednesday night after having been gone about 3 weeks, and I could still see Wayne Word coming up to me with a little box. He handed that little box to me, and inside of it was the completed crystal radio that I hadn't been there to complete. And he put his hand on my shoulder and just said, Lenny, I know why you hadn't been here. I know this meant a lot to you, so I completed this one for you.
Boy, that meant a lot to me. 60 years later, I still remember it. Because of that small thing that showed he cared, that I mattered, that he was willing to be a servant. I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old. I graduated on Thursday night, had the class picnic on Friday. On Saturday, my stepdad said, "Aren't you leaving?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'm leaving right now." So I packed up and I left, and I had a dear sweet aunt and uncle, Ed and Nora Orr, my dad's sister, who said, "You've always got a home with us." Was that inconvenience for them? Sure it was. They were empty nesters. Their son was gone. They didn't need some high school kid coming in there and living with them. But they reached out in love to me with the heart of tenderness and kindness as the heart of a servant. I'll never forget it. So many folks, as I look back in my life, the best friend in my wedding, Reverend James Porter, and others that spoke into my life by their example of their love of Christ and what they did. The greatest among you will be your servant, what Jesus is telling you and me. Are we getting that? Are we hearing that in our spirit? Are you willing to be inconvenienced to reach out and to help others? Can you grasp this deep truth that Jesus is trying to share with us this morning? And are you willing to say, "I'm going to go out of my way. I will be inconvenienced because I need to be His hands extended to someone else that needs me today, that needs my help, that my love, my concern, and my prayers." When we do that, we'll want to live it out. When we start that, we'll want to live it out minute by minute, every day, relationship by relationship, and we'll gladly come to that point in our hearts, we're saying, "It doesn't matter if I'm inconvenienced, because I know God is using me in this opportunity to love and bless somebody else." And here's what else we'll discover. We'll discover that when we take our selfishness out of the equation, we take our self-promotion and all of our needs out of the formula, when we stop living our life that thinks we always have to win, we always have to have folks paying attention to us, that we always got to have our way every time. When we stop living our life like that, all of a sudden life becomes so much easier, so much less stressful, so much more blessed because we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." Boy, is that true? Disorder, pursuing our own way, it naturally creates an atmosphere of forgetting God and His goodness and His past blessings, and forgetting Him, until the next crisis comes and we cry out to Him. So these three things we've looked at today, busyness, compartmentalization, and selfishness, they create the problems that we've been dealing with because we forget. When you think about it, all three of these things are really matters of the heart, aren't they? It's a subject of what's in our heart. Look at this next PowerPoint with me on James 6 and 45. This is per the J.B. Phillips translation. "A good man produces good things from the good stored up in his heart. And a bad man produces evil things from his own stores of evil. For a man's words and deeds will always express what has been treasured in his heart." Matthew 5 and 8 says it well, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When our hearts have been purified, we begin to see God in other people, in other situations. We begin to see God in things we've never seen before, because it's a life of remembering God and knowing He's in the midst of every part of our activity every day. And we don't forget that relationships and what is eternal is what matters every single day of our life. We must learn to guard our hearts and purify our hearts. How can we do that? We must make sure, first of all, that we're in a controlled environment. We're in charge of the environment we let ourselves get into. We've got to be in a controlled environment, an environment that's full of faith and hope and the Word of God and the promises of God, the teachings of Christ and His example in our life. See, when it comes to people and pastime and pursuits, we don't open ourselves up to anything that has the potential to take our minds captive away from the things that God wants us to have. We can be in control of that. That's the controlled environment that I'm talking about. For example, in James 4 and 8, the New King James Version, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's a lot of that double-mindedness. I got one foot in the world, and I got another foot over here in the spiritual things, and that creates that double-mindedness. Look with me at this next PowerPoint. It's James 4 and 8, but it's the Amplified Version. Come close to God, He'll come close to you. Don't you want that? Come close to God, He'll come close to you. Recognize that you're sinners. Get your soul hands clean. Realize you've been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests. And purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. By the way, in James 4 and 8, in another version, it says, you who are trying to follow God in the world at the same time, make your thinking pure. Trying to follow the world and God at the same time. God help us not do that. King David understood the dangers of spiritual heart disease, of being a quick forgetter. He understood the dangers of that when he wrote in Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. O God, create a clean heart in us. Realizing this tendency to forget, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, you'll see these words on the next PowerPoint. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Oh God, apart from you, I am no good thing, the psalmist writes. Help us, Lord. Help that be in our hearts. So here's the lesson today as I conclude. We must beware that when God is abundantly blessing us and good to us, that sometimes we can be in great danger. We're in danger because it's in the good times that it's so easy to forget God. And when we forget God, we lose the intimacy and the closeness to Him that makes our life rich and blessed and wonderful. Oh, it's so easy to get consumed with the blessings, to get consumed with the gifts and the good things that we forget the giver of those blessings. And if we do that, we'll fall into this trap of worshiping the blessings and not worshiping the one who has blessed us, who continually wants to bless us. The benefit of keeping God in our mind and in our hearts is that it keeps our hearts grateful. Oh, a grateful heart's a beautiful thing. It keeps our hearts grateful, and gratefulness makes us appropriately humble and delighted in knowing that it's God that does everything for us. It's by His hand every blessing comes to us. And believe me, delighting in God sure beats being consumed by the stuff that He's given us. Isn't that true? Delighting in God always beats being consumed by the stuff. The value of a grateful and thankful heart is emphasized in Psalm 107. It's the last scripture you'll see on the PowerPoint. Psalm 107 follows verse Psalm 106, which is our scripture text. Verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. You think about it. Psalm 106 is all about forgetting. In the very next psalm, turn the page. Psalm 107 is about giving thanks. If you don't forget, you're going to give thanks. You're going to have a thankful heart. You're going to realize God is your source. He was your source yesterday. He'll be your source today. He'll be your source tomorrow. Keep your mind, keep your heart, keep your faith on Him. Don't forget His goodness. Yes, as we age. As we age, there's going to be many lapses of our memory. There's going to be many times we're standing in front of that refrigerator holding that mayonnaise jar trying to figure out what the next step was. I understand that kind of just happens. That's part of life, isn't it? But remembering God's goodness in our lives is something we can't afford to forget. God help us to remember the goodness of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you today for the Word. I thank you. Your Word is a roadmap. It's a light. It's a lamp into our feet. It's a correction for our lives. It's a redirection as we need it. Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit, redirect our minds and hearts this day. Let us be daily aware of God's presence and goodness, and let us reach out in faith and trust Him and call upon Him and make that declaration, Father, I am nothing without you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Let that be our heart's cry. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you now for the witness and the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our individual lives and in this place this morning. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you.